You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN, KGYM.
On yet another frigid day in eastern Iowa, albeit sunny, we welcome you in to the Gym Class here on a Tuesday edition here on 1600 ESPN, Eastern Iowa's home for sports. Thanks for tuning in on 1600 ESPN, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes joining me from the back porch in the southwest side. Isaac on the other side of the glass here today, once again, steering the ship through the 3 o'clock hour. Got a good show for you. We'll look back at last night's college football national championship game between Ohio State and Notre Dame. Buckeyes, your national champions for the first time in 11 years. We'll talk about that, take a look at the entirety of the run of the college football playoff for the first time, get your reactions to it, our thoughts about it, and going to have a little fun with this. We always talk about the preseason polls. We are going to compare the preseason AP poll to the final AP poll. That will be interesting. Basketball tonight, Iowa State in action against UCF. Yes, the folks from Orlando are not going to enjoy this weather. They don't have to be out in it that much. But Iowa State and UCF coming up tonight right here on 1600 ESPN. Iowa and Minnesota. We'll play down at Carver-Hawkeye Arena this evening. That is an 8 o'clock start, a little bit later start tonight. The Iowa State start, by the way, is a 6 o'clock pregame with a 7 o'clock tip-off. So we will talk about that and more. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you at all times. 319-366-1600. Phone line as well. If you would like to pick up the phone and give us a call, that is also 319-366-1600. And Mark, hope you're keeping warm again. Good afternoon.
No doubt. Good afternoon, guys. Good afternoon, everyone. One way to try to stay warm anyway is watch a little Corn Ferry Golf in Bermuda. it looks warm there anyway.
It looks warm. The water looks very refreshing and very inviting. I know that, but yeah, they're doing Sunday through Wednesdays for the first couple of weeks on Corn Ferry Tour, but to each their own, I guess. Isaac, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Staying good. Warm. I tried to make the studio just a little bit warmer than it normally is when you walk in. I opened up the shade there and turned on the lights. So.
And it helped.
Just a little bit.
But 64 degrees.
Much. It's better than 61, which is what it was when I came in today.
We're up 3, baby.
So I'll pat myself on the back. 3 degrees is better than no degrees.
Gold star for you today. Gold star. Mark, look what $21 million will buy you. That's a national championship, although there were others that contributed, obviously. But the Ohio State University is your National Football Division I Football Championship Series winner for the year. They finished 14-2, a 34-23 victory that I guess wasn't that close, but then it became that close and somewhat of an interesting finish, depending a finish that made some people happy and some people very angry, depending on what side of the equation you were on, if you were of that nature. But it was a game that saw Notre Dame jump out, take about 9-10 minutes off the first quarter clock, go down and score. And then after that, it was Ohio State for about 2.5 quarters until the Buckeyes, I think, I don't want to say got bored a little bit, but the human nature, when you get up like that, you tend to back off a little bit. I think the play calling from Chip Kelly backed off a little bit, allowed, and Notre Dame played well at the end. Irish got it within one score, and then big play. Notre Dame went for it all defensively. Zero coverage, blitz, and Jermaine Smith beat him.
Yeah, it wasn't a great game, but it ended up being an interesting game in the second half. I think you described it well. Ohio State got conservative, and that's kind of natural with a 24-point lead and a quarter and a half to go. But credit Notre Dame for coming back. A couple touchdowns, a couple two-point conversions. All of a sudden, it's a one-score game. And as we've seen many times, anything can happen in that situation. But the pass from Will Howard to Jeremiah Smith was the final nail in the coffin. And, you know, it determined the pick six. I don't know how many other bets it determined on that last field goal with 26 seconds left. But I'm not surprised at the result. You know, we've talked here and there about, you know, the playoffs, how it went with the new 12-teamer. And, you know, a lot of people say, you know, your conference championships mean a lot.
They don't.
They don't, and not even rivalry games mean a whole lot. Ohio State fans have long forgotten that Michigan game, at least until next year.
Yeah, at least until the end of November next year. Yeah, Jeremiah Smith, I don't know why I said Jermaine. Jeremiah Smith with a terrific route. And tell you what, the many heroes for Ohio State, that's for sure. Probably none bigger than Will Howard. The Kansas State transfer had a terrific game last night, probably made himself a little money. He and Riley Leonard, I thought, both played very well. And they're not going to be early draft choices, I don't believe. I thought Kirk Herbstreit said it very well, that these two guys are very steady, really good college quarterbacks. Are they going to be really good at the next level? Probably not. But they're going to stick around in the league for a while, at least as backup quarterbacks. And I think that is exactly the way you describe Will Howard. Did it with his legs as well as his arm. Both quarterbacks actually did last night.
Yeah, I thought Will Howard was I've liked him all along. But you look at some of the mock drafts, and he's ranked like ninth among the quarterbacks eligible, right behind Riley Leonard. I think this guy can play in the league. He's got a lot of great attributes, and he's really, you know, upped his game since he was at Kansas State. He won a national championship, beat some of the best teams in college football, and you're the engineer of that group, a very talented group at that. You've done something, but yeah, I saw some things today criticizing Herbstreit for even being on the call for the game, since his son is a backup tight end on the team. And I didn't think much of that. You've called your own son's games. Brooks and Gonder called their own son's games. I thought Herbstreit, you know, him being a former Ohio State quarterback, there is some maybe conflict of interest there, but I didn't think there was a huge deal.
You also got a kid that's going to go to Michigan.
Yeah, right.
Herbstreit was fine. People are getting too caught up in that. Kirk Herbstreit is a consummate professional. Fowler and Herbstreit are right now the best, hands down, in college football. 319-366-1600. Your thoughts on Ohio State's national championship. Big Ten now with two straight. Michigan last year, Ohio State this year. And looking ahead to 2025, season anyway, they'll play the bowl in the national championship in early 2026, of course, but we will get to that coming up in just a little bit. Will Howard was very good. Now, keep in mind, Mark, he didn't have $21 million worth of dudes around him at Kansas State at the Little Apple. Keep that in mind, but he did what he had to do, and he found the open receivers to the tune of 17 of 21 for 231 yards and two touchdowns in the ball game. The Ohio State defense was very stout after that first Notre Dame drive. And if it wasn't for Notre Dame's terrific, I mean, Riley Leonard and the sophomore wideout, Jaden Greathouse. Greathouse made himself some money. He won't be able to acquire it in the NFL for a couple more years. He's only a sophomore, but man alive, he is a good wide receiver for Notre Dame.
Great House was terrific. That catch that got eventually got Notre Dame within one score, a terrific catch. And he was good the whole game. He's been good throughout the playoffs. And he's going to be, you know, one of the better receivers in the country for the next year anyway, if not two. But Notre Dame's a very good team. And I'm still puzzled how it lost to Northern Illinois. But that was a long, long time ago. And, you know, by and large, Notre Dame didn't have the extremely difficult schedule, but navigated it and got to the championship game. And, again, it ended up to be a decent game. It was, it wasn't a blowout like the past six have been, but it wasn't, you know, an all-timer either.
319-366-1600. So Ohio State wins the first ever 12-team, the inaugural college football playoff. What did we see? Did you enjoy the college football playoff overall from start to finish? You can even go back to the selection of the teams. I don't know if it's not a selection. Well, it is a selection Sunday, but it's not the selection Sunday out there. What are you going to remember from this year? The first year with the 12-team college football playoff. Love to hear your thoughts at 319-366-1600. Do you have a thought, Isaac? What are you going to remember? The Ohio State $21 million national championship, or what's it going to be?
Man, I don't know. I think this could be sort of the changing of the guard as far as conference powers go. With SEC dominance kind of, as far as football goes, kind of coming to an end. I don't want to say it's, like, officially over, but, you know, it does sort of feel like powers have shifted. It's no longer SEC big gap than everyone else. It sort of feels like it might be Big Ten. Not necessarily big gap, but Big Ten than SEC, everybody else. And you might even say the SEC is lower than second based off of what they did this year. I don't know if it'll stick. I'm sure the SEC will, you know, be back once the NIL stuff sort of mellows out and you have revenue sharing, all that stuff. But it does sort of feel like this year solidified a sort of changing of the guard as far as football power goes.
The 12-team playoff, and if you take a look at it, it was the 8 beating the 7 as far as the seeds are concerned. If something needs to be looked at, in my opinion, Mark, after the very first 12-team college football playoff, it is the fact that we had an 8 beat a 7. But in reality, wasn't an 8 beating a 7? I mean, yes and no, I guess. Looking back on it now, the only underdog to win was Notre Dame, beating Penn State on the last second field goal, coming from behind to win it 27-24. In the semifinal. Other than that, this was an absolute chalk-ish. Well, it was an absolute chalk tournament from start to finish, with the betting favorites coming away with the wins. All of the, yes, betting favorites won 10 of 11 games in the college football playoff. Now, does that mean we need to reassess after 1 year, kind of a knee-jerk reaction to the seeding philosophy in the college football playoff? I'm going to say no, but I think it needs to be looked at. And quite frankly, Mark, in a 12-team playoff, I'm not so sure how much really importance the conference championship games have. Yes, you get a bye, but everybody that had a bye lost this year in the inaugural edition of this tournament.
Yeah. In fact, the seedings, you know, in the end, it didn't matter because the best team won, in my mind. Notre Dame did also beat Georgia, a 7-2, in addition to that Penn State game. So there were a couple, you know, lower seeds beating higher seeds. But by and large, the seedings need to be examined. The automatic, in my mind, the automatic bids to conference champions needs to be examined. The conference champion, regular season, and the conference championship game, to me, it's maybe not immaterial, but less relevant these days because not everybody plays everybody in the league. You can examine, you know, all the teams that got in the playoffs and who played who, and not everybody played everybody else in the conference. So how can you evaluate that? You know, a team with an easier schedule, perhaps, say Indiana, I got in as a 10 seed, made the conference championship game. You know, was Indiana better than Ohio State? In the end, no. So I think too much emphasis is placed on conference. I think some kind of computer system. Maybe not like the college basketball, but strength of schedule. I mean, Indiana's schedule was not like Ohio State's schedule, to make one comparison. And, you know, I just – too much emphasis placed on that regard, whether it's seedings or what have you. I mean, Ohio State's not the first team to not win a conference championship and then go on to win a national championship. It's been done four other times. So this wasn't an outlier. I just hope whoever's in charge takes a look at things, and I'm on record. I think you agree, eight teams is the best, but I think that ship has sailed, unfortunately, and I hope the people in charge examine what we have here.
What was a success? I mean, the whole thing was a success. The first round, I think, was a real big success for the on-campus games, which is another reason why it's going to go to 16 sooner than later, because, you know, especially you take a look at next year's tournament, and if all of the top seeded bye teams lose again, this thing's going to go shoot to 16 real, real quick. 47-27, agreeing with the four conference champions getting in. Don't like them getting the top four seeds. Agreeing with you, Mark. Looking back on it, Boise State and Arizona State. Yeah, Arizona State took Texas right down to the wire and into overtime. No doubt about that. But in the end, was Arizona State a better team than Texas? I don't know. Certainly Boise State probably was not deserving of a top four. I would like to see this seeding redone. I don't think it needs to be redone next year, but in the near future. 3560 saying, I agree that the seedings aren't that relevant. Look at the 68-team basketball tournament. It's primarily chalk. Maybe I should go with that then. My bracket in March, Isaac. Should I do chalk?
I think
it's dangerous.
I know.
I think Spencer says he usually does one where it's all favorites. Or I feel like maybe I always do one. I can't remember. I always do multiple. And
we did have a producer who had a chicken pick the tournament and did well.
I wouldn't even know where to
get a chicken.
Get a chicken that can do stuff like that.
Just pointed at one of the two teams. That's what they did. A couple teams comparing what Iowa needs to do to get to the national championship tournament. 0560 saying, showing how far that the Hawks are behind when it comes to offense and throwing the ball down the field. And Iowa would have ran an off-tackle play with 10 in the box and a blitz coming on the last play that Smith caught the pass. 0835 says Ohio State dominant after disappointing loss to Michigan. What I would like to see for next year, no automatic qualifying for conference champions, seeding based on ranking and polls, and eliminated from playoff contention with three or more losses. You're pretty much out of it if you have three, certainly more than three losses. Now, if you play the biggest, baddest schedule in the land and you go 9-3, maybe? I don't know. I think everyone's kind of in agreement, Mark, that the seeding needs to change.
Yeah, the schedules do matter. I mean, and when you play teams, I think Ohio State was penalized greatly and maybe justifiably so in that loss to Michigan. It looked terrible in that game. And I think it was knocked down a peg or two because of that loss. The other loss was a one-pointer at Oregon. Whereas Notre Dame lost the second game of the season to Northern Illinois. What if that had been the last game of the year? I think people would have taken that into consideration much more than if it had been in the second game of the season. Yeah, it was probably a fluke, but it happened.
319-366-1600. If you would like to comment on the national championship tournament that came to an end last night with Ohio State coming away with the national championship. And already the odds are out for next year. And, of course, the very early top 25s, which I think is even more insane now, Mark, because we've got another transfer portal period coming up. And who knows who's coming back, who's leaving, who's coming in, who's getting paid more. We don't know yet. I don't know how you can come up with the top 25 yet.
Sure you can. It happens every year. And I had fun looking back at the preseason poll. And it just reinforces my opinion, your opinion, and others that these the only use for preseason polls and anything before October 1st is for us to talk about.
Yeah, and we're going to take a look at that just for fun after we get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update and after we talk to our friend Troy from Muscatine County at 327. How you doing, Troy?
Great, guys. It was a fun tournament to follow, and I think it was really exciting to see the different matchups. One thing I thought was they had got to look at is the equity among the number of games that are being played. Maybe they look at – I doubt if they drop a regular season game. But, for example, Georgia, they had to play in the SEC championship, and that was their 13th game. They lost their quarterback. Notre Dame didn't have to play their 13th game to the first round of the playoffs.
True.
Which I – listen, they're not going to – you, me, Mark, Isaac, we all know the conference championship games aren't going anywhere because they – produce too much money. But I don't know what purpose they really run now other than you add another game for your quarterback to get hurt or your star wide receiver to get hurt or whomever. You got to have pretty much too deep across the board now to go in a 16 to 17 game college football schedule if you run the course.
I'd like you to both elaborate on that because depth was a huge factor as you get into the late last two games of the season. And how many starters were out? That's a very good point. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Troy. Appreciate it. Well, Penn State, Mark, didn't have their pass rushing ace out there for their last game. Obviously, Georgia didn't have Carson Beck out there, and now he's not even a Georgia Bulldog anymore. He's flown the coop. Offensive linemen for both Ohio State and Notre Dame, although the left tackle for Notre Dame, I thought, did very well last night for the most part against a really good Ohio State pass rush. But that's one of the things reading this story on CBSSports.com with Dennis Dodd that he elaborated on, that you got to have quality depth now. So you're $20 to $30 million, and somebody's going to have a $25 million payroll next year. We know that. They're probably already coming forth with it, and it's probably Phil Knight up in Oregon, to be honest with you. They got to find people to get depth also because you're going to have injuries.
Well, if you want conference champions to be part of the party, what's better, the regular season conference champion or the conference championship game winner? The conference championship game is one game. SMU proved that can happen. And, you know, the problem with the regular season, once again, is that not everybody plays everybody. But it's the entirety of the season that maybe determines how you get in. Maybe you select the teams before the conference championship games. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, there's not a great answer to it.
I actually think the depth point is sort of why you saw the SEC stumble a little bit in the later part, because no longer do SEC schools have 4- and 5-star backups just waiting on the benches, ready to fill in when someone goes down. Now those 4- and 5-stars are going to get starts somewhere else, and then they can transfer to a bigger school. They can start somewhere at a smaller school, or a mid-level SEC school, and then transfer to a larger school later in their career. So you see the depth sort of later in the year, and that's why, or affect them more later this year, and that's why it's sort of leveled out, and there's not this big gap anymore.
Yeah.
And roster sizes are going to be reduced next year.
True. And as we've mentioned many times, the schedules are not equal. Until all the conferences play the exact number of conference games, that's not going to be equal. Great example, nothing against the Hoosiers. Kurt Cignetti was very good this year. Hoosiers were very good, but they played a cake schedule. And they did very well with it. SMU did not play a really tough schedule. And, yes, they won games, but in the end, both went down very, very quickly. Let's get to an Emels Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emels on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot. They're open at 4 o'clock. Their great menu is online at emelshideaway.com. They are a classic local American restaurant right off of First Avenue in Cedar Rapids. And what have we got, Mark?
We will talk more about the final AP poll, but Iowa State has finished 15th in that poll. That just coming out today. In the NFL, a couple teams at least are looking for head coaches. The Jets are targeting a Lions defensive coordinator, Aaron Glenn, and the Raiders have now turned their attention to 73-year-old Pete Carroll. History will be made in the Super Bowl as the officiating crews were announced today. Mike Morton will become the first person ever to win a Super Bowl and officiate a Super Bowl. Morton was a linebacker for the 1999 Rams Super Bowl champion, a team that included Cedar Rapidian and Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. And finally, happy 85th birthday to Jack Nicklaus.
Ah, the Golden Bear. Happy birthday, Bear. Did it make other people sad to see Lou Holtz last night? And Lou did not look good. I mean, I know he's up there, but man, just used to all the vim and vigor and just excitement of Lou Holtz. And I'm glad he was there. Glad he was at the game last night. Boy, it was celebrity sightings from ESPN all over the place. Thank goodness LeBron had the night off.
What was the show they would put the stickers on the helmets for players? I cannot remember that show that he was on. That
oh, on Lou Holtz?
Yeah.
Well, it was the
can't remember the name of the show.
College football final. Somebody on the text line
It'd
will let
be
us know.
At the end of the day, they'd always have stickers. That was awesome. I loved that as a kid. I know that's going to make some people feel old, but that was I loved that, watching that, and see, I would stay up to see who got stickers.
Yeah. 319-366-1600-6936 says, add teams to get rid of buys and have the first two rounds on campus. I think you're going to see that eventually. It's coming around the corner sooner than later. Mark, before a break, let's let everybody know the results of the Emels Hideaway pick six.
Yeah, that field goal with 26 seconds left determined the pick six winner this week. That was Dave as he finished 4-2. The other three of us finished 3-3. And who is the lucky listener winner, Isaac?
I should be prepared and have it pulled up already. It was Robert.
Robert. Congratulations. I had it in the bag, Mark.
Without that field goal, you would have.
I would have won. If that thing would have went to about the 25-yard line on that pass, they weren't going to kick a field goal from that far. I would have won it. Doggone it. Let that be a lesson to everybody. 319-366-1600. We'll come back. We'll take a look at the preseason AP college football poll. Have fun with that. Talk a little bit about Iowa State, UCF, Iowa, and Minnesota coming up tonight. Stay with us. More to come after this here on 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And it's going to be sunny, but it's going to be brutally cold still. Temperatures only make their way into the low single digits, and it's going to be a breezy day, leading to wind chills staying in the teens below zero. Tonight, the winds switch in out of the south, and clouds begin to build in. Temperatures will actually start to rise overnight into Wednesday morning. We are going to have clouds building in and the chance for some light snow as we head through Wednesday, which could lead to a few slick spots on the streets. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Life's busy, and Quick Start gets it. Whether you're grabbing fresh coffee, a bakery treat, or a quick meal, Quick Start is your go-to for quality and fast service. From clean restrooms to fresh groceries, easy meal options, and guaranteed fuel, we make your day easier. Plus, enjoy perks like free ATMs, free air for your tires, and sweet rewards with the Quick Rewards program. Everything you need in one stop, and always a friendly see you next time. Quick Start, where your day gets easier and better.
Life's better when you're under our roof because our agents can help you choose insurance to help protect what matters most. Life insurance from American Family Life Insurance Company can help financially protect your loved ones by replacing a portion of your income if you were to pass away. That means your family can have the help they need to continue to pursue their dreams.
Contact Kurt Gustafson or Lana Pierce at 319-363-7214.
Products not available in all states. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
American Family Insurance.
Business owners, are you tired of hearing, "I didn't know you were here"? Frustrated that your unique story isn't being told? If your sales are flat or declining, it's time for a change. I'm Stacy Daybault, branding specialist and strategist with KZIA, and I have the solution. Brandsformation is a proven marketing system that delivers results. You'll have an entire team of experts working on your message to inspire and drive sales.
To schedule an appointment, call this station or text BRAND to 76626.
Texting enrolls you in recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent are required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
The team's looking good this season.
I think so. Man, I miss playing football. Being young with unlimited energy to burn ever since I turned 40. I just can't find that fire I used to have.
Think it could be lower testosterone?
What do you mean?
All guys lose their edge when they turn 40. The body has less testosterone. That's why I take Nugenix Total T.
I've heard about Nugenix. That really works?
Since I started taking Nugenix, I'm lifting like when we played for Coach Carter. I feel more energized at work. It's even spiced up things between me and the missus.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try?
Yep, send a text. It's that easy.
Text LIKE to 424-24 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T. It's the number one selling testosterone boosting brand at GNC and Walmart. Do it now and they'll also send you a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, their newest, most powerful fat burner ever, absolutely free. Text LIKE to 42424. That's LIKE to 42424.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Back with you, Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN. Spencer on Sports follows us from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock, and then it'll be Iowa State basketball, Cyclones, and the Golden Knights of UCF tonight from Hilton Coliseum, and that will be a 7:05 tip-off for that one coming up this evening. Iowa and Minnesota, that'll be an 8 o'clock tip-off this evening as well, as Hawks try to get well after a less than fun trip out west. Mark, we have to do this because it just cements your crusade. Now, I've jumped aboard your bandwagon, but this is the hill you plant your flag upon, and that is, why do we release preseason any poll? Football poll, basketball poll, whatever the case may be, why do we do it? Why do we do it?
Well, it's been done for years. I've happened to hold a vote in the AP poll for many years, and I quite enjoyed casting my ballot each and every week. But when it comes to the preseason poll, it's grown more difficult because, as Isaac pointed out, the transfer portal, you never know how some of the transfers are going to pan out. Some of the, you know, freshmen, sophomores are going to pan out. You tend to go with some of the blue bloods just because you figure, well, they're probably going to be good. But this year, teams like Michigan, blue bloods, Oklahoma, Florida State, LSU, USC, they were all ranked in the preseason poll. and they didn't finish anywhere near the top 25 this season. In fact, 13 teams were in the preseason poll that did not make the final eight people.
Over half. 13. Over half. Isaac, take a guess. Of the 12 teams in the first college football 12-team tournament, how many of those were in the preseason top 12?
I'm going to go, let's see. I know Florida State was 10, Michigan was 9, so there's two spots out. Let's go. Let's go 9.
Ooh, you're way over.
Way over? Is it way less? Okay, so like 4.
Quite a bit less.
4 then.
Higher.
6.
Six.
Okay.
6 of the 12 that were in the preseason top 12 did actually make the 12-team college football playoff.
Oh yeah, because like Alabama and Ole Miss, they were also in the top. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Georgia, by the way, kudos to the 15 voters that voted Ohio State preseason number one. If you did, take a bow at this time. Georgia, Mark, the six teams that made the college football playoff were number one, Georgia, number two, Ohio State, number three, Oregon, number four, Texas, number seven, Notre Dame, number eight, Penn State, and that was it. Those were your six. The preseason top 10, of course, Georgia and Ohio State, 1-2, Oregon, 3, Texas, 4. Alabama was preseason top 10 at number 5. Ole Miss was 6th. Notre Dame, Penn State. Michigan was 9th. And as Isaac and you alluded to, Florida State, who won 2 games this year, was preseason number 10. In the college football poll. Then you can go on. Missouri. Oh, go ahead, Mark.
No, go ahead.
Missouri, 11. Utah was 12. Remember when Utah was going to win the Big 12? Of course, Cam Rising was going to be healthy, too. Neither one of those things happened. LSU was 13th. Clemson, 14th. They did make the college football playoff. 15 was Tennessee. They were in. Oklahoma, 16, followed by Oklahoma State. Yeah, you made a face there. They were preseason number 17, I believe, finished last, dead last in the Big 12.
Is that or Florida State worse?
Florida State's worse.
It's got to be worse. That was number 10.
Florida State set an all-timer for falling on your face. Kansas State was 18, Miami 19, Texas A&M was 20, Arizona was 21, coming off the what they did in 2023. Kansas was 22. Now, they played good at the end of the year, but not so much at the beginning of the year. USC was 23rd. They didn't make a bowl. North Carolina State was 24, and who was 25, Isaac?
That would be your Iowa Hawkeyes.
That would be Iowa at number 25. Iowa State received votes, Boise State and SMU. 28, 29, and 30, Mark, were Boise State, SMU, and Iowa State.
Yeah, where it gets difficult if you're a voter is anywhere below the top 15. If you look at the preseason poll this season and the final poll that came out today, spots 16 through 25, all but one of them were unranked. I mean, 16, 17, 18, 20 through 25, they were all, you know, there were teams that were ranked in the preseason that didn't make the top 25. So, as far as the top end of things, I think, you know, the pollsters got it pretty solid in the top four. Of course, Georgia was number one and finished sixth, but Ohio State started second, finished first. Oregon was third and finished third. Texas fourth, finished fourth. So the top end was pretty accurate.
Yeah, it was. Now, Colorado had one vote preseason. One voter took Colorado at number 25. They finished at number 25. So maybe that voter should take a victory lap as well. Memphis wasn't anywhere around it. UNLV wasn't anywhere close. Army, Syracuse, South Carolina. Now, South Carolina, an interesting case study, because they are in deep in everyone's top 10 for next year already. Ohio State, by the way, the betting favorite going into 2025 college football. Imagine that. Illinois, they weren't anywhere close to being talked about in the preseason poll, but you get the gist here. As we put college football to bed for the
year. Now, the real winner was Arizona State. Unranked in the preseason, didn't receive one vote, and finished seventh.
Yes, they did. Yeah, Arizona State had won three games each of the last 2 years. We're on probation. And what happened in the desert was truly amazing. Indiana and Arizona State, I should say, were the two teams that really jumped ahead of things. One more little thing before we get to basketball. 9663 said, did you see the menu at the football game last night? All cheap prices, like $2 for everything. That's because that was the last football game to be played at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium of the year. You can't have food sitting around for 6 months, Mark. You got to get rid of it. You got to move product, right?
You had to clean out the cupboard and refrigerator, right?
Yep. Move that product. Yeah. And they did.
I actually think Arthur Blank, for like most of the regular season, too,
yeah,
lowered
their
prices. Yeah. He called it fan first pricing, something along those lines, where there were like, it was relatively cheap, still a little bit more expensive, but cheaper than other stadiums.
A lot cheaper. You bring up a very good point. But still, those hot dogs aren't sitting there till August and the Falcons' first preseason game. 319-366-1600. Basketball tonight will start in Iowa City as Iowa will take on the Minnesota Golden Gophers. And as much hand-wringing and consternation, Mark, talking about the Iowa men's basketball team, two home victories this week against Minnesota and Penn State, two of the lower echelon teams in the Big Ten. Although, well, I think Penn State is still a dangerous team. And obviously Minnesota with Dawson Garcia, if they can get hot, anything can happen tonight. But Iowa is an 8-point favorite this evening. Still do not know. I have not seen anything. Have you seen anything about Peyton Sanford, Isaac? I have not seen anything as of yet.
I think it was still uncertain as of last I saw. I think that was this morning from David Eichel.
Okay. Mark, Iowa, again, to use Kevin Lehman's analogy, the ex-girlfriend might look good by the time we reconvene next Monday. If Iowa can come away with two wins, they'd be 14-6 and back over the 500 mark in the Big Ten Conference.
In this case, Scott, she will be a tease. If that happens.
It's just a very, very quick glance in her direction. Is that what you're saying?
Not even that.
If Peyton Sanford does not play tonight, in fact, Fran McCaffrey has made it known that he's going to try to get Laje Dembele and Traore more minutes tonight to try to shore things up on the interior for Iowa to help out Owen Freeman a little bit. I think we are going to see some more Riley Mulvey tonight. I think he earned a little bit more playing time. Granted, Iowa was down 30 against UCLA when he got most of his minutes, the last 5 or 6 minutes of the game at Pauley Pavilion. And he did okay. I think he deserved a little bit more playing time.
Yeah, I think for what he gives you, he's played fairly hard, fairly well. He's not the top center in the country by any means, but I think he could give you a few minutes. Listen, tonight, all you need to know is Iowa and Iowa State play at virtually the same time at home. Weather conditions outside, similar. And how many people will be in attendance in Iowa City versus how many in Ames? And that's all you need to know.
Very true. Yeah, if it is half full in Iowa City tonight, I will be shocked. I will report tomorrow.
Well, you're going to be there. You can count them, Scott.
We'll see how the line is for the Carver Cone tonight. A little chilly night for a Carver Cone, but hey, it's warm inside. 2757 asking, who will go for a career high for Minnesota tonight, and will the Gophers shoot better than 50% from three? Minnesota shoots better than 50% from three. Iowa is in deep, deep trouble this evening. The Gophers are not a good offensive team. They're 307th in the country. So something's got to give tonight, Mark. Iowa defensively is 334th in the country against the 307th offense. So if Minnesota starts cranking in things up and gets to 85 points, then you know there's a problem. A big, big problem. A bigger problem than we know about.
Well, all I know, Minnesota just beat Michigan, and Iowa's coming off a dreadful road trip.
Dreadful underline. 319-366-1600. There will be more than 378 at Carver tonight, Tim. And I agree with you. I want to see Nate Heisey score a little bit. Tim says, I think Cyclones fans want to see Nate Heisey hit some threes tonight. Now, keep in mind, I think he's a little bit more on the defensive side of things for Heisey. You know, they've got enough guys to hit threes usually. I think it was a little bit of one of those days with the 1-for-17 for Iowa State in Morgantown on Saturday, Mark. I think they'll bounce back tonight, and I think it's a very, very bad situation for UCF this evening.
Yeah, I think Iowa State will bounce back. It is favored by 16 points, although gave Houston a pretty darn good scare.
UCF's got some players. They've got some players. And, yeah, you're right. They gave Kansas a tough time. They gave others a tough time. And they were a 10-win team coming into the league. So it's not a team that's going to roll over, certainly. Now, I don't think they're going to be enjoying the sub-zero wind chill temperatures. My guess is they will not hesitate to get back to Orlando after the game coming up this evening. 319-366-1600, 2757. Yes, the movable object meets the stoppable force tonight. Talking about the Minnesota offense versus the Iowa defense. I believe 85-82, yeah, Nate Heisey was UNI's leading scorer last year. I believe that was the case. They're not asking him to score this year. TJ Otzelberger is not. I mean, you take a look at Heisey, he is really, really bulked up. And he's more of a defensive guy. He can shoot the three, but like I said, with Curtis Jones out there and Keyshawn Gilbert, I'm not sure they need him. But it'd be nice for Heisey, if he is open, to put up that three. We'll take a break. Come back, 3:54. We'll wrap things up after this here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Back with more after this.
Choose family.
Choose friends.
Choose your community.
Choose local.
Choose local for everything. Clothes, food, a deserving charity, a new ride, or a place to keep your nest egg. When you buy from, invest in, or donate to businesses here in the corridor, you help keep our community strong and vibrant.
Choose local.
This message proudly presented by Network Computer Solutions, Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, Orchestra Iowa, and 1600 ESPN.
Imagine someone hiding a gambling problem. How exhausting it must be, seeing the losses pile up and feeling powerless to control it. Now imagine it's someone you love, your spouse, your child, your friend. Talk to them to understand where they're coming from. Because anyone can have a gambling problem. They just need help getting their life back. Call 1-800-BETS-OFF to get help for them and you.
Are you an outside salesperson stuck in a job taking you nowhere? Do you know you could be doing better if given the right opportunity?
Hi, this is Jim Lobato, General Sales Manager for 1600 ESPN. We're looking for the right person to join our sales team. If you're a President's Club caliber salesperson with a track record of success, our fun, fast-paced, creative environment might be a perfect fit for you. Use your talents where there's no cap on your income or limits on your success. Isn't it time you started getting paid what you're worth?
Call 1600 ESPN or email jim@kzia.com. Equal opportunity employer.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the Adult League, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym. We will talk about Bowling Night in America coming up tomorrow on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class. Mark Ironside will also be stopping by, and we'll look back at the festivities from last weekend and the big one coming up on Saturday. I know, Isaac, you're pumped. Iowa and Ohio State, 2-4 in the rankings, the fresh rankings that came out today.
Yeah, you saw an interesting name in the potential lineup, too, as far as Iowa goes.
Oh, who's that? I have not seen the lineup yet.
Teamer was listed.
Oh, Teamer?
With an or.
Ooh.
We'll see if that happens, but interesting that he is listed.
Okay. Maybe that's just to play around psychologically with the Ohio State Buckeyes. I don't know. The Ohio State wrestling team is not a $21 million wrestling team, but they're very good. They are very good. They put a lot of stock into the grapplers over there in Columbus. Mark, good discussion today with the listeners out there, and it was a good college football season. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it always is, and looking very much forward to next season in a lot of regards, and actually looking forward to Baseball Hall of Fame announcements coming up. I know Spencer will have a lot of that on his show.
Yeah, he will. And I got to think that Ichiro gets in to go along with Dick Allen and Dave Parker. We'll see if somebody else makes it, like a Billy Wagner or whomever. So that'll be coming up in the next couple hours. All right, Mark, talk tomorrow.
Sounds great. Talk then.
You've been listening to the Gym Class, 1600 ESPN.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major